Let's turn now to Luke in chapter 11 this morning. Luke chapter 11. We're going to learn how to pray today. Praise God. It's so good to learn how to pray. Now, you see, it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, referring to John the Baptist. You know, they saw Jesus Christ, and we've been going through the Gospel of Luke, and we've seen it. Jesus would go off to pray alone. He would go to a mountain to pray. In fact, Luke tells us, and he's the only one that does, that when Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, he went up for the reason to pray. And so they're observing this. They're seeing this, their example, their leader, that they are disciples. They're following him. They see all this prayer going on. And so this time, you know, they're just so drawn to him. They're drawn to the ability to do that. But he said, oh, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Would you teach us how to do that like John the Baptist taught his disciples? And so Jesus now is going to give them as what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And actually, it's not the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is recorded in John 17. But it's the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. It's our prayer along with his prayer. And he, of course, gives them then the Our Father prayer. It is just so beautiful, and we brought down through the ages from the scriptures. Now, we'd like to say a few words about this before we get into the prayer, and that is very simply this. It is really tempting to pray in a ritualistic type way, the Our Father prayer. Just kind of rattle it off. We're familiar with it. Because Jesus taught us this prayer, I pray this prayer every single day. And I want to do that because Jesus, when he taught us to pray, this is what he said to pray. But the thing is that it can become ritualistic, kind of just a rote thing, Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, kind of thing. You know, go say 25 Our Fathers, you know, kind of thing. And it's just, it can become rote if we don't think about what we're saying. So I love what Martin Luther said about this. Martin Luther said, when you pray what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, pray it loosely. In other words, put things in your own words about the ideas and the concepts that Jesus has brought forth. In fact, Jesus even hinted at this. In Matthew, it says that he says, pray after this manner. Pray after this manner. Just giving us the idea that these things that I'm going to pray are the things that you should be concerned about in your heart and your life. And if you pray these things loosely or the manner that you would, you see, this is the good way to go with it. So it doesn't become ritualistic or vain repetition in our lives, but it's really a prayer. And so with that, let's go ahead and start our prayer. It says here, he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, or as in heaven, so in earth. Now he begins with Our Father, which is a wonderful way to start, of course. You know, Jesus wants us to know, and Jesus addresses God Almighty as Father. And you know, the Lord wants us to know that part of his position in our lives is as our Father. Now, many of us have had really good dads, really good fathers. And so when we're told to address the Heavenly Father as Father, the role of a good father is conjured up in our minds. He wants us to know that. He wants to take that role in your life as a good father. Now, I know that many of us have dysfunctional families and so forth, and we have to take that into account. And some folks even have a hard time in trusting God like a father because they never had a good father. You have to get past that and look into the face of Jesus and let him continue to love you, love you, love you, to the point where you can go ahead and trust the Father God as a good father, for he indeed is the best. He's better than any other father that you could ever mention. Any earthly father could never, ever be as good as Father God is. But Jesus wants us to know this, that the Father takes that role as our Father in our lives. Now, in fact, there's even a verse that says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Thank you, God. You're my daddy. And you get those good hugs from the Father God. I remember when I first got my first job, I was working in a factory on West Jefferson Boulevard in L.A., And I'd always been afraid of the big tall buildings in LA. It was just one of those phobias I had, you know, and I have bad dreams about big ships and that kind of thing. Anyway, they gave me a truck that was a stick shift that I didn't like because you have to actually change gears on that thing, you know. They told me to go deliver a part in downtown LA. And I was haired and scared and completely befuddled. And there I was in the left-hand turn lane in Figueroa Boulevard, downtown LA. Big tower and buildings all around, a jillion people all around, and cars beeping and everything, and I just had a panic attack. Ah, what am I doing here? And you know what? The Lord came upon me in His peace and His fatherhood fathering me. You see, when I left my house and I left my mom and dad, I didn't leave my father. Because my father and your father are our father throughout our whole life. And you know what? That peace came so heavily upon me from our dear Father God that I felt like a little kid in a kiddie car. And I just went ahead and said, okay, Daddy, here we go. And I just went on with the job, and I became really good at downtown LA, man. Really good. I love LA, you know, kind of thing. All right. Our Father. All right. Now, Jesus says our Father here. This is really beautiful because, you see, Jesus Christ is including us with Him. Think about that. Our Father. He didn't say, pray this. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, I address you. No, He says you address Him as our Father. Jesus Christ was including you alongside of Him. And there's neat scripture about that in Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, meaning that he became a man. He came down here on the earth to be a man, a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He took that death of the cross in His stride, actually, just went ahead and did that for us. He brought the cleansing to our hearts and minds and souls. He tasted death for every man. And then it says in verse 11, for both He, that is Jesus, that sanctifies or separates us unto God, and they who are sanctified, all of us who are separated unto God by the grace of God, are all of one. For which cause He, that is Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brothers. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you and I brothers and sisters. And so when He begins the prayer, He says, our Father, you are included with me. You say the prayer also, our Father, because He's not ashamed to call you brothers. Let's look at verse 12, saying, I will declare your name, Father, unto my brothers. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Wow, have you ever seen that verse before in that way, that Jesus Christ is singing with you? Do you see that? In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, declaring your name unto my brothers. Jesus comes right here and is in our midst. When two or three or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And what is He doing when we're singing with Kevin and the guys and the band and Greg and everybody? He's singing with us. I will sing praise to you. And I want to encourage you, keep singing like you sing. Because Jesus is right here singing with you. And you don't want to sing less loud than He does, do you? You want to sing with Him. I encourage the first service, last service, that they don't sing as good as you guys. You should have heard the last song. Those guys were singing. And I had to give them a commendation on that. So I want to say to you, keep up your good work. And if you're somebody out there in the middle of the church or maybe in the back row that hasn't been singing, remember, Jesus is here to sing with you. You got to sing. Sing to the Lord. Amen? Oh, yeah. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And so we sing and we worship the Lord together. And then Jesus, here we have more about Jesus. It says again, I will put my trust in Him, that is in the Father. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. This is a quote from Psalm 22. And so Jesus speaking, Jesus thinking, actually upon the cross, He was thinking these things. It's wonderful. wonderful thing to know. And so our Father, now let's go on back to Luke 11 and take a look at what is next in the prayer. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to honor, means honor and holiness. Holy and honored is the name of God. The Living Bible puts it very well. Father, may your name be honored for its holiness. And so that is what that means. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And so the walking, talking, loving Jesus Christian will be praying, thy kingdom come. This can be kind of a spiritual thermometer for you, to take your temperature to see where you are spiritually. Do you really want the Lord to come? Do you really want that? Do you pray with fervency in your heart, thy kingdom come? Or do you want him to wait so you can sin a little more? That kind of thing. Oh no, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven. Actually, we're told by the Apostle Paul just before he went to heaven, and I'll quote it to you, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, says that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for all them who love his appearing. If you are loving the idea of Jesus coming back and setting up his kingdom here upon the earth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. And so this is a way to test the water. How am I doing with the Lord? Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward to his return? Can you pray with love in your heart, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so there it is. Now, the next verse is something that's emphasized, actually doubly emphasized, after the prayer is finished. And it has to do with your financial provision. Verse 3 in the prayer. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now, this Greek word for daily is really interesting. I was so blessed to learn about this. This is the first time I ever learned about this. That we looked up the Greek, and it's epiosios. It's a very long word for daily. And it's normally not used for daily. In fact, one of the Bible scholars that I was reading said that this Greek word is found nowhere in any Greek writer before the Gospels. This is almost like a new word. It's a different word. It's a word that actually means subsistence or needful bread, is what it means. Now, one of the Bible scholars that I read said this. This should be translated, give us this day the bread which the day's necessities require to bring the strength needed for this day. And so it's speaking really of a necessity thing, the bread that we're asking for. Now there's the bread of necessity, and then there's the bread that we want. A castle in Ireland would be nice, you know, kind of thing. But actually what Jesus is giving us to pray is to pray for our needs. What do we need? Now this prayer really is prayed in a bigger way that gives us more understanding to this prayer in the Old Testament. So let's go back now to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. Now this is the prayer of King Agur. And of course, this is the book of wisdom. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. So this is a prayer that's full of wisdom. And it goes along with the Greek word that we expressed, epiosios, in the praying for the daily bread. It says this, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. For this reason, verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. The Lord God Almighty knows exactly how much money or financial prowess or need that he can bring to you that won't hurt you. Can you see it here? Oh Lord, feed me with the food that's convenient for me. Another translation, just enough to satisfy my needs. A Revised Standard, the food that is needful for me. Having food and clothes, let us therewith be content. Did everybody eat today? I might say no. Is everybody dressed today? I hope so. Now, there's no harm in asking God for anything you want. Castle and island sounds good. But the thing is, God will answer that prayer according to your need and according to that which won't hurt you. There are some folks, if they get really, really super rich, they tend to forget God and put him on the shelf and say, who's the Lord? I don't need him. I got lots of money. But there's those, praise God for those that have a lot of money and God's been giving them the gift of giving. It's a beautiful thing when that happens. So it's not wrong or bad to have a lot of money, but this can help you understand why you don't. It takes a big heart to have the gift of giving. And some of you might just be waylaid away from the Lord if he just can't give you too much money. And so the wisdom prayer is, Lord, just give me what you think I can handle. And Lord, I thank you for every penny of it. And I just want to go ahead and use it for your glory in whatever way you see fit. Lord, feed me with the bread convenient. Give me what I need, Lord, and what your plan is. And so that is the way it works. Now, with that, we'll come back to this idea in a minute because the Lord re-emphasizes it. Okay, let's go back to Luke in chapter 11. Now, in verse 4, it says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, this is a really neat thing that hit me for the first time, that actually when we sin, we're in debt to God. We're in debt to God. God has created us for his pleasure. He has, by his Holy Spirit and through his loveliness, actually called us to be vessels of his glory, to be vessels of honor. And so when we sin against that, we're in debt to God because we're purchased and paid for with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so we owe him. We're in debt to him. Now, Jesus even spoke a parable about this. He says, you know, there was one man that was working for his employer and he owed his employer $20 million. Must have been Donald Trump, you know. He owed him a lot of money, $20 million. But he comes and he said, you know, I don't have the money to pay. And the employer, it says master in the Bible, but it's the same relationship as employee-employer, said, you know what, I'm going to forgive you that debt. He actually forgave him that debt. Then he goes out and he finds one of his fellow employees that owes him $20. He says, give me my money. And the guy said, oh, please, be patient with me. I'll pay you in due time, just like he had said to his employer. But the guy didn't want to have mercy, and he grabbed him by the lapels and so forth and had him cast into prison. Well, the other fellow employees went back to the big employer and said, this is what he did to his fellow servant. So the big employer called him in and threw him in prison. And then Jesus said this. This is what this all means. He said, so if you will not forgive your fellow servants their debts to you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your sins. Boy, that's sobering, isn't it? That's sobering. So if you need to forgive somebody, you better get on it. You know what I'm saying? You better get on it. And that's so important. And so the Lord used the example of indebtedness, really, in that parable. And so we have that debt. Praise God. Jesus Christ was sent by God to pay your debts, just like the employer that paid for the $20 million. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So much sin has been forgiven in my life and in your life, and we need to impart that to others through the blood of Jesus. And so indebtedness, taken care of through the Lord. Now, the last thing, Dan, in verse 4, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is another spiritual thermometer for us. Do you like to be tempted? Boy, I sure hope somebody tempts me today. You know? no, that's not a good place to be. And that's going to let you know that you're not in the right place with God. But lead us not into temptation. Now, the way you have that worked out in your life is to not put yourself in places where you know you'll be tempted. Because you are saying to God, I really want to be tempted. If you put yourself with the people or in a place that you know the temptation will knock. And it's like Greg Laurie always says, and I like this thing he came up with. He says, you know, whenever the old devil comes to my door and knocks trying to tempt me, I just say, Lord, would you get the door? I love that. Lead us not into temptation. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you have a problem with booze, don't go into the liquor stores. That's just setting yourself up. If you have trouble with Krispy Kremes, you have to go home a different way. Have you heard the story that Greg Laurie tells about this Krispy Kreme thing? Anybody? Okay, there's just a few of you, so I get to tell it. Okay. This guy decided to go on a diet, but he was assigned every day to bring the Krispy Kremes to work. So he would bring big boxes of Krispy Kremes every day to work, but he would end up eating a lot of them on the way. So he decides to go on a diet. So he tells the guys at work, sorry, can't bring the Krispy Kremes anymore. I have to sign it to somebody else because, you know, I just can't do this. But one day he shows up at work a couple of months later and he's got, you know, 7 boxes of Krispy Kremes, but 2 of them have already been eaten. So what happened to you? And he says, well, it's the strangest thing. I drove by the Krispy Kremes on the way to work and, you know, I just thought, I'm going to say a prayer. Lord, if it's okay for me to get the donuts today, let there be a parking place right in front. And on the 8th time around, there it was. Yeah. I love that story too. But you get the idea, don't you? You got to be careful where you go and what you do, because you know exactly where your weak points are. And so as you pray this prayer with Jesus Christ, and you can pray it every day, lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. When that time comes for your choice of where you're going to go and what you're going to do, you're really going to be helped with that. And it's going to be a victory for you instead of a defeat. Now, with that, let's go on now in the chapter, because what happens now, and I, this is the first time I've ever seen this, because usually I teach the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6. And in Matthew 6, the Lord re-emphasizes twice forgiveness. Forgiveness. After the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, he re-emphasizes forgiveness. And that is wonderful to get that forgiveness re-emphasized. It's important. But Luke re-emphasizes financial provision for you. You see, he wants to take you back in the Spirit of God, and of course the Lord Jesus is doing this because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, to the Our Father, in the fatherhood of God, in the way of taking care of you physically, and supplying and giving you the money that's perfect for you in your life. That's his responsibility. Your responsibility to work. He that doesn't work doesn't eat. But his responsibility to take that worry and fret off of your life. And so it's re-emphasized twice here after the prayer in the Gospel of Luke. You remember back in Luke chapter 9, verse 3, when Jesus sent the 12 disciples out, the Bible says that he sent them out and told them not to take any money. Then, in chapter 10, verse 4, he sent the 70 out. He told them exactly the same thing. I want to send you out, but don't take any money with you. Then later in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 12, he tells them why. Because he tells them, I sent you out without money, did you have any need? And they said, no, Lord, we didn't. And that was the reason he sent them out and told them to take no money. He wanted to show them his fatherhood. He wanted to show them his ability to provide in those two cases. And so we see now in the Gospel of Luke the re-emphasis of that truth after the prayer that he teaches us to pray, the Lord teaches us to pray. So let's look at verse 5 through 8. Now he said to them, this is Jesus speaking after he teaches them to pray, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And so the bread enters in, the provision. And he goes on to say, For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And probably most of us have been in this situation at one time in our life or another, where you have relatives coming over, and you know, you don't think you have enough food or whatever to give them enough to eat, and you're thinking about that, and I need to go to the store or whatever. And so this is the situation we have, but this man doesn't have the provision. He needs to borrow. And so he comes over and asks his friend at midnight. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you now. He's mad, he's upset, you woke me up, come back in the morning, what are you doing here now? I say unto you, Jesus says in verse 8, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and that's a translation from the King James, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, this guy is there. Picture him standing at the front door. The guy's just got out of bed from the top, in the top floor or whatever, and he's looking down through his window and he's saying, What are you doing here at midnight? I need 3 loaves of bread. Somebody just came to my house. I don't have anything to give him. I need to get 3 loaves of bread from you. And the guy says, I'm in bed. Go away. Leave me alone. But this guy importunes. And importune means to be bold about his asking. I'm not leaving here until you give me the bread. He's persistent. He's going to keep knocking on the door until his friend comes down. And he says, well, not for the sake that he's his friend, but because of his importunity, this guy is persistent. I'm going to give him the bread and get rid of him. I can go back to sleep, maybe, because once you're woken up, it's hard to go back, you know. They say it takes 2 hours, and I've experienced that. Have you? Yes, okay, I understand. Anyway, so that's what's going on here. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is simply saying this. Look, you're involved with a loving Father. Father God, who loves you more than any other human father. And if this guy, because of the importunity that's coming his way, is going to take care of the situation, how much more will your Heavenly Father take care of the situation? And so if we have a need, we're to be persistent with him. And he loves it. That's what he's trying to say. I want to teach you to pray. This is how you pray. You be persistent with it. Be instant in prayer. Pray without ceasing. And come after the Lord that way. Now, I'd like to give you some other translations of this word importunity and talk about it. Because importunity, by one of the Bible scholars I read, he says this, a Greek scholar, says the word is a strong one. This importunity word is a strong one. And he uses the synonym shamelessness. No shame. I want that bread, and I'm not ashamed. Get up, go downstairs, and get me that bread. Shamelessness and persistence. And then the NIV translation says boldness, which is another good translation. There's 2 scriptures, one about being ashamed, another one about boldness, that can really help us here to know that this is what Jesus is saying to us. One of them says this. This is Romans chapter 9 at the end of the chapter. Whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. The Lord wants you to know that you don't have to feel ashamed because you have to come to him for help. In fact, he will set up situations in your life that causes you to have to come to him for help. There are some folks that want to just persist in that old cliche or the song that Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way. And man, does that ever bring you to a dead end? But we go to the Lord without shame. Whosoever believes in him will not be ashamed. But I come to him and I say, Lord, you're my Father. And I pray, our Father, give us day by day our daily bread. And Lord, I'm in need right now. And he will in no way turn you away. And then I think of the word boldly from the NIV translation, translating importunity. And we have the scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 at the end of the chapter where it says, Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy, to help in the time of need. Come boldly. He wants you to come boldly. It displays faith. You remember the woman that her daughter was sick? Well, grievously vexed with the devil. Came to the Lord. And she was a non-Jew. And the Lord didn't even answer her. But she kept bugging the disciples. Finally, the disciples said, Lord, we can't handle this woman. She keeps bugging us. And he says, how can I take the children's bread, meaning it from Israel, and give it to the little puppy dogs? It was referring to actually a household pet, kind of a parable he was using to draw her out. And she said, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Oh, and Jesus just marveled, and he said, man, this woman has great faith. And he healed her daughter. What was he doing there? Drawing her out. Come on, come on, come on, get bold. Let's get bold, let's get bold. Let's not have shame about asking. Let's get with it and come to the Lord. You have not because you ask not. You see, we can miss out if we, through pride or whatever, or feeling ashamed or whatever, because of pride, we can miss out. You have not because you ask not. Now, you receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. And so that brings us back to the castle and island. You know, you can't do that. But if there's a true need in your life and you find yourself short, and you go to Jesus Christ, you know what? He's going to provide. Remember with Sherry and I, when we first started out in the ministry, we only made $800 a month. And we had the four boys. And even in the time years ago when that was, it was still, that was a little bit of money, $800 a month. So I remember that time was hard. John came to me, my son. He said, Dad, we're out of peanut butter. And I just remember the Holy Ghost came upon me. I looked up. I said, Dad, we are out of peanut butter. And I just passed it right on up there. At the same time, Sherry was suffering with a cold. She says, you know, we don't even have any vitamin C that we can take. We're out of money. And you know that the Lord God Almighty, you know what he did? We're looking to him for help in this. Next morning, there's a ladies' Bible study in our house, and one of the ladies walked in with a case of quart bottles of orange and grapefruit juice. And she said, my dad works for the packing plant here in Anaheim, and I just thought I'd bring this over for you guys. Can you use it? Can we use it? It was God's provision and God's way. And that's just the way our Father is. He takes care of what you need, what I need, and there should be a peace there for us. Isn't that peaceful? Receive that. Isn't that peaceful? Some of you have really been struggling. And I think we get back to it often. I think that's why it's double emphasized here. Because we need to go ahead and trust him and look to him and ask him and to come after him. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. Now it says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now, the Lord knows that some of us feel inadequate. We feel like Billy Graham should have answered prayers and Chuck Smith, but not many people after that, you know, kind of thing. I mean, it's just sometimes you get those feelings of inadequacy as a believer. Jesus knew you would feel that way. So after he says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be open, he gives us verse 10, for everyone. Does Billy Graham's name appear there? What appears there? Everyone? Does that include you? Are you an everyone? Yes, you are. You're a whosoever, and you're an everyone. Everyone that asks receives. He wants to re-emphasize that. Everyone that will ask him will receive, and he that seeks will find. When you shall seek with me with your whole heart, you shall surely find me. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. And then he re-emphasizes it again. What's the word ask start with? A. What's the word seek start with? S. What's the word knock start with? K. And what does that spell? Ask. He's making it really clear, isn't he? And he wants to bring us back to the idea of our Father, our Father, our Provider, our God, our deliverer. He is the one that created us, and he will watch over us. And so you ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, find. Now, he emphasizes it again in verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, these are rhetorical questions. All the answers to these questions are no. Many of you are fathers. If your little two-year-old or three-year-old or 12-year-old comes in and ask you for a piece of bread, are you going to give him a stone? No. How much more will the Heavenly Father give those that ask of him? He wants us to know that he's concerned about our bodies physically and our physical provision. Then, in verse 13, as we read it, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? Now, he's been re-emphasizing the physical care of our bodies, and all of a sudden, out of the sky blue yonder, he switches and turns to the spiritual with the Holy Spirit. Well, this is very easy to explain because we know that Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. And so he wants to minister to you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He's our Father. And so he gives the Holy Spirit to those that ask him as well as the physical provision. The scripture says that the Lord desires us to be sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. The bodily needs taken care of too by God. The emotional needs is the soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions are the soul. That's your soul. That's what goes to heaven when your soul gets saved and goes to heaven with the Lord. And your spirit. And your spirit. And he ministers to us spiritually through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we ask him to bring that spiritual need to completion also. He's interested in you completely because he's your Father. And so the prayer life is to be centered around the fatherhood of God. And again, because Luke reemphasizes, we reemphasize today, all of your physical needs. Yes, and your spiritual needs, as we have in this last scripture. Jesus is there. The power of the Holy Spirit and his comfort of love and the love of the Father to take very good care of you. This brings us to a place of peace. We can understand it fully and take it in. Every so often, I've got to go back to these scriptures, and I have to go back to Matthew 6, where it talks about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, and read it again, because we're human. And we begin to get into sometimes those frets, don't we? But we want to always come back to the fatherhood of God. He's watching over you. He created you. He wants you to have a peace about it. The Lord is your Savior, your Father, your brother, and your husband. Wow. I mean, all those things are taught in the Bible. All those relationships can be compared to how much involved the Lord is with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we thank you so very much, Lord God, that you do love us and that you have broken the bread of life to us. And Lord, we want to pray this morning. I know, Lord, that there's those here today that have been struggling financially and wondering and worrying and fretting and thinking dollar signs all day long, trying to figure out how to make ends meet. Lord, thank you for these promises. I just pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would encourage each one Thank you, Lord, for that, Father. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can ask for what we want, but you say no sometimes. But Lord, thank you that you will never, ever, ever, ever overlook our needs. That's just who you are. And so we appreciate you, Jesus, and we pray that we'd be trusting you, taking in your word and believing your word, mixing it up with faith, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This time we'll have the band come and we'll sing to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, could you feel Jesus singing with you? Oh, yeah. Amen. On the serious side, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ yet, we want to give you an opportunity today to accept him in your heart and your life. Oh, you don't know what you're missing if you haven't opened your heart to Jesus yet. And I see the smiles all around because, you know, there's only one way to really enter in and to experience him, and that's to ask him in. Ask and you will receive. He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. I'd like to give you that opportunity. You can come right up here to the prayer room. You see how inviting that prayer room is? You see the light on in there, just beckoning you to come in for prayer. We have a wonderful brother that will be in there with you. Sherry last night put in a whole new stack of Bibles in there. If you need a Bible wrapped in cellophane that you can begin to learn of the Lord. We don't give you old Bibles here. You get brand new ones. Come on. Come on. Up. Receive Jesus. Don't leave here without Jesus, your Father, and the Bishop of your souls. So God bless you and keep you and just give you a great week in him. And may you always remember you've got a dad that's watching over you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord.